Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Min, and I'm your host today from NDIS Property Australia here in Brisbane. And you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Today's exciting topic is project management, development management from HPS with our special guest speaker, Chris Hall from HPS. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Min. Good morning.
Thank you. Let's begin the process. Chris, who are you and what does HPS do?
Well, Min, HPS, Hall Property Solutions, is a full-service development management company. We're based in Toowong in Brisbane. We've got a fantastic team of seven, and we're regularly involved in the SDA sector, looking at the whole spectrum of property development from acquisition, site identification, all the way through to approvals at construction management. So, like I said, full service, start to finish.
And your background, Chris?
Yeah, so my background is in property development. Previously worked for some large developers, mainly in greenfield land subdivision space, and for a design and construction firm for 3.5 years. So Hall Property Solutions was established in June of 2019. Started off in my living room and quickly expanded into a beautiful office in Toowong, which we're now located in. So my qualifications, I have a master's in project management. My education in the property sector has been through experience within large scale developers, working my way up through a long list of projects throughout the last 12 or 13 years.
My next question is, in the property development game and particularly SDA, a lot of investors and developers don't understand that a project manager is critical to every project. Now, why do clients come to you as a project manager to work on their project?
Well, I guess there's just so many different moving parts of a project. Critical in SDA, to be specific, is the site identification. So understanding, first of all, the parameters of the location, the specific details of the site, service locations, the rise and fall, etc., just makes it very important to understand the feasibility from day one. And so our well-rounded approach and our due diligence processes allow us to understand the whole spectrum of the project in a feasibility sense, a desktop analysis. So first and foremost, what we find is our clients come to us for our understanding of that process and to conduct due diligence before they invest into projects.
In the past, you've come across, you know, myself and you, you come across a wide variety of types of clients coming to you for advice. And obviously your service proposition now is more evolved to another level now. What is your ideal client today?
Yeah, so we have, over the course of the last 3 years or so, as we've been in this sector, a full range of clients, including landowners, investors, you know, sophisticated developers, real estate agents come to us, even business owners look to for our advice for the SDA sector. But what we've found now is, you know, our ideal client is someone that understands the risks associated, particularly with participant supply and demand, and also has the land. So land is king at the moment, has a development site, has an opportunity for some a development potential of a site. So by that I mean can enhance an existing asset, whether that's just a larger site that can be subdivided and create another project on. That's what we're working with at the moment. We've got several clients as well that are looking to procure raw sites and to develop mixed-use precincts, I guess, with the added benefit of an SDA project within it.
You talk about risks. What kind of risks do you refer to?
There is a lot at the moment. So first, like I said, is participant understanding that pipeline, understanding the security on the leasing mechanisms around how the revenue structure comes through. So when you're looking at a feasibility of a project, it's obviously two sides. There's the cost and the revenue. So number one is the revenue side. Then there's a long list on the cost side. So difficulty and of securing land and price increases of land in the right location, and also obviously the construction industry and the costs and program blowouts that are currently being experienced are the main risks.
What have you seen in terms of price increases for construction in the last 2 years? My recollection, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was when I spoke to you 2 years ago, it was roughly about 2,200 square metre, 2,500 square metre. Now, this is 6 months ago, I think it was as high as 4,000 square metre. Are those numbers accurate there?
In recent projects.
And we're talking about apartment developments.
Over 4,000 a square metre for apartment. So, yeah, detached housings and duplexes, single storey, obviously a bit cheaper than that. But, yeah, we're still looking at least 25 to 30% price increases. It's not just the price as well. It's the procurement. It's the delays that associated with the construction, which obviously does mean cost, but it's the frustration. And I guess tied into the participant side of things is it's very difficult to give a developer an end date, a completion date at the moment, which would relate to problems with securing participants and understanding when they can move in.
Yep, understood. So what projects have you completed and have underway in the SDA space at the moment?
We've completed approximately 30 projects in the space, mainly detached duplexes. We've done a group home. We've done some subdivision works which have created some group homes as well, an apartment project. Currently underway, we've got 7 projects. They're in Warwick, 2 in Warwick, 2 in Caboolture, 2 in Silkstone, and 1 in Townsville, in the suburb of Kelso. So they're all under construction at the moment.
Do you have any big, interesting projects coming up that you want to dig into in the SDA space that have a good story behind it all?
At the moment, we're managing 3 sites for a client out of Sydney. He owns the property there in Maruka, Acacia Ridge, and in Corinda. So we're working through a design phase and DA approval on all 3 of those sites. So his intentions at this stage are to get the DA, get the designs, get them costed, get our due diligence pack and put an information memorandum together and sell those. He's a builder based in Sydney, so he has the capacity to be able to deliver that project. So his exit strategy is a bit flexible at the moment, but yeah, those 3 projects are pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. They're all designed under the community res land use. Yes. So we're straight into a building approval process, but we have engaged with council and got detailed information as to the requirements on how to move those projects forward.
Are there many challenges between yourself as a project manager with council when you're working on these kind of projects? Is it straightforward or is it a bit of a process?
It's as straightforward as any other property development. Yeah, there's probably some positives around the SDA sector in that there is that community res zoning which can be used in some situations to secure sites, but there's some limitations around that in the zoning with the number of participants and number of care providers that can come to that property in a 24-hour period. So just need to understand those parameters. But they're proving to be quite successful in terms of the feasibility outcomes. Yet to deliver one, but
so the Corinda one is 3 units, right?
Correct.
The Maruka one is 4. In the case of
Ridge is 6.
6, okay, yeah. Wonderful. What background work does a project manager do prior to launching an SDA project?
So again, very similar to any property development. So our due diligence processes are quite thorough. We've got our process, which we've evolved over time, is a three-stage assessment under due diligence. So in stage one, we're primarily doing a desktop assessment with anything that's available online. So your planning constraints, die before you dig assessment, and those simple matters that we can just do a quick feasibility, a static feasibility very quickly, using rates and experience from other projects, using existing designs that are in our library, etc. So that's quick. Generally turn that around in 2 to 3 hours. Stage two becomes then when we get external input. So we'll get consultants' advice, like an engineer, a town planner. We might get a specific concept design done by an architect. We'll get advice from council via a pre-lodgement meeting. We'll package that all up together and potentially also get some construction advice from some friendly builders, which is evolving every day. And that just refines our feasibility into a stage two package that we call our development strategy. Mm-hmm. And that strategy then comes with a detailed budget, cash flow, revenue projections that we'd like to get coverage from an SDA housing provider in most cases, but we generally use pretty conservative assumptions when we're putting the revenue into our feasibilities. And then at that stage, the stage two report or the development strategy is accepted or approved by the client or the investor, and then we enter into our development management agreement, which is stage three, basically delivering the project in accordance with the strategy. It's when we go out to tender to builders, and the client will either, if they haven't already, don't already own the property, will secure the property and settle on it, and when we'll deliver it, whether it needs a development application or a building approval. It's our first step, go to tender to the builders and then manage it all the way through to handover.
Speaking of consultants, Chris, what are the types of consultants you work with external to your company?
The full range of consultants. Again, like any other property development, we have an extensive list of external consultants that we go out. Most projects we go out to tender to, we request fee proposals to those consultants that we believe have got experience.
So we're talking engineer, architect, town planner?
Yeah, engineers, architect, town planners, SDA assessors, building certifiers. If it's a built form design, we're looking for structural engineers, civil services engineers, lots. In most cases, most projects will have over 10 and 15 external consultants that we're coordinating and managing. And so we manage them within their scope and budget with a view of the client's preferred outcomes. Now we take that pretty seriously. We represent the client's best interests, and we like to find the right consultants that work well with us and also work well within the SDA sector, because there are some specific requirements that they need to understand.
Is it a costly exercise for your client who engages you to help them go through phase one, phase two, to determine whether a project is viable for them? Is it a costly exercise to have them engage these consultants?
So stage one, generally we're charging, depending on the scale of the project, we charge around $600 for stage one. Like I said, that's a 2 to 3 hour exercise. There is a long list of risks to mitigate in that stage, and we detail those. We provide a program and a budget in stage one. So it's pretty clear within some parameters of what the outcome of the project might be in stage one. So for $600, a very quick assessment, a summary of the potential of the project, potential of the development site, is pretty valuable tool. So we do like to charge for that, because we have experienced a lot of inquiry over the years, and it generally weeds out those that are generally interested in pursuing a property development. And the cost of stage two really does depend on the scale of the project and the level of input that the client prefers or requires to in order to get to a comfort level of proceeding with the development generally ranges somewhere between $3,000 and $10,000. On that stage two report, that includes the external consultant's advice. And again, that's dependent on the amount of consultants required and the level of detail that the client wants us to go to. So, yeah.
Oh, it's good. Good explanation. What problems do you think investors or developers fall into without the right expertise helping them along the way of the project, even during the start of it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think program is the number one thing, is knowing what to do and when to do it in the right sequence. So there's a lot of investors, particularly in the SDA sector, that are jumping ahead and not understanding the critical risks of the process before they're acquiring a site, for example. I touched on it before, but what we're very good at is that due diligence assessment, is understanding what can and can't be done on a site and how much it's going to cost before you're investing significantly. So a stage one report for $600 could potentially save you wasting thousands of dollars if you're going directly to an architect, for example. If you're getting a concept design done, you know, the architect might charge you $2,000 or $3,000, and the project might not be feasible from the start. So I guess that's what I would say. That's just a small example of the sequence of the due diligence assessment. And then once we're in an active development, problems that investors might fall into is the understanding the approval process and making sure that all your approvals are in line before you start construction. So development approvals are very complex, and there's quite often a long list of conditions associated with those, and making sure that those conditions are met before you're investing heavily into procuring a builder and in some cases procuring the civil contractors to get started on the development side.
So you mentioned your costs, which are fine, but what are the DA costs? What's an average? We're talking about an Acacia Ridge project of 5-6 units there. What would be a DA cost, consultants and lodgement to council and all those costs there, cost someone to go through that process?
Something like Acacia Ridge for 6 units, it's about $150,000,
yeah,
for including all of the external consultants, lodgement fee to Brisbane City Council, SDA assessment costs, architect fees.
And so time frame for that DA to be lodged and approved?
So the lodgement process generally for something of that scale is around about 4 to 5 months.
Yeah.
Very dependent on the local government, the council region, in terms of their assessment period. But so everyone at the moment, in particular those local councils that have experienced flooding, under-resourced and at the moment, so approval timeframes are very difficult, very challenging. So I guess that's another example of our expertise, is understanding in that situation the right town planner to use. The right town planner has good connections into the council that can ensure that the application is nice and well drafted, so that it limits the information request stage, which can be time consuming.
Mm. What advice do you have for anyone looking to go into larger scale projects like SDA, which are different from the norm? And the norm being detached dwellings, very simple to understand and purchase and develop. These projects we were talking about, the four units, three, four, five unit complexes, which are more larger scale for acquisition, DA and cost of construction, more risks involved there. What advice do you have, having been through what you've gone through the last 3-4 years, advice for anyone looking to go into this type of investment development?
Yeah, so the easiest way to answer this is just to refer everyone to our website. We've got a blog on our website, and it's 6 tips towards a successful SDA development. So, the advice, I guess the number one there is understand the risks. making sure that you're fully across a due diligence assessment before you start investing heavily. So SDA projects are unique, that, you know, even experienced property developers will have some hurdles to jump in the SDA sector that they haven't experienced before. So understanding the risks would be the number one, and have a look at our website and our blog.
I'll probably add something to that as well, Chris. I mean, you and I know what developers go through with regards to market risk, funding risk, which is standard anyway, supplier risk. But when it comes to SDA, it's a little bit more complex because it's the participant. And and these developers always come to us and say, well, you know, I'm a developer, and but I've never done an SDA before. And before I spend $5-6 million, how do I know for sure that I'm going to get participants? Is that the main query you get from these supposed developers who are trying to enter the SDA market? Is that all they
We do. We get a lot of that, a lot of those questions around participant risk. But I guess fortunately for our situation, that's not within our scope in a development. So we just like to partner with SDA housing providers and refer those for that conversation. So we try and steer clear of those discussions. We're experts at the property development sector. We like to, you know, stay within our lanes and do what we do best and engage with external experts when they're required. So when an investor does come to us, we identify that as a risk, and our mitigation for that risk is to engage with another professional.
Yes. One thing you haven't discussed yet is tendering, tenders of construction or builders. Do you want to elaborate more about that topic there?
Very challenging at the moment. So, tendering, so we can tender at the consultant level, and obviously critical to construction costs is tendering to builders. So very challenging at the moment to find builders that are willing to respond to a tender as well as deliver that project in accordance with the program that our clients are looking for. So
how do you vet a builder given the market conditions where every second day is a builder going under everywhere in Australia? How do you as a company vet and check and filter that the ones you're talking to are going to be around for completion of the project?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's difficult at the moment. I mean, you can't understand what's going on behind closed doors. All we can go on is experience, quality of previous performance, and open and honest discussions when we're going into that tender phase. So we've expanded our network recently into other builders. The SDA sector, you know, there's not a lot of builders that are doing it because the industry is just generally challenged, and your standard residential builder will not want to take on that risk profile. So, yeah, it's a difficult environment at the moment.
So with your SDA jobs that you will be working on moving forward, will they be fixed price contracts, or is there an element or a clause to allow for the builders to increase their prices during construction for these kind of projects?
Yeah, ideally it is fixed price. That's what we set out to do. But we're also understanding that without builders, the industry will completely fall over. So we like to develop relationships with the builders, understand what they're going through. If there is a genuine variation, then we like to communicate that to our client in a sense that it was unknown and it is industry-wide. So in a situation recently where a client was looking to change builder after signing a contract because of a very lengthy variation in terms of the build time, it's like, well, how do you find a replacement builder? We've already got to a contract stage. Is it better the devil you know and continue on with this and build that relationship? And that's what we ended up doing, and we've got a great outcome in the end.
Yes. That's great. Chris, before we wrap up, I think I'd love to ask you, what clients are you looking for and what clients are you not looking for in the SDA space? And you feel free to say no comment if you want.
I guess like the ideal client from our side at the moment is that is a sophisticated developer that owns some land, that controls that site, is looking to, and also understands the SDA risks associated with a project? So very, very difficult question to answer, actually, because I guess to answer it may be that without putting anyone offside, the clients that we're not looking for at the moment is your speculative investor. So someone with a lot of cash that thinks this sector is yielding fantastically because of the marketeers spruiking big numbers, that's not who we're looking for. We're not looking for someone that's, you know, wanting to chase 15 to 20% returns. The reality at the moment, you're not getting that, and you probably won't for a long time. But that's why we're sort of working with clients with land already, because, you know, they've owned that land for some time. They haven't purchased that at the top of the market. They understand the revenue risks, and they're willing to invest heavily into quality projects. So,
I mean, I've seen your feasibilities in the last year or 2 years, and you know the yields with leverage or without leverage are 7.5 to 11% yields as a range. Yeah. That's pretty much
Yeah, between 7 and 9 is a sweet spot.
Net yield. Yeah.
So I think that's a pretty realistic outcome.
And that's assuming a 100% capital or 50% leverage, or
that's on cash. Yeah. So yes, 7 to 9%. Leveraged, obviously, slightly a bit more improved than that.
Have you seen a lot more activity from the fund managers level in the last 6 to 12 months as compared to 2 years ago when it was very active?
We are sort of attracting that level of inquiry at the moment, just because we're maturing in the sector. It's been 3 years of a hard slog, to be honest. There's been a very steep learning curve. And so we are attracting that more sophisticated fund manager that's looking to pump out a portfolio. And so that's very exciting from our business to be able to grow off the back of some of the conversations we're having in recent times into a much bigger opportunity. Will allow HPS to be able to expand and offer more services.
Chris, if any of our listeners or investors want to contact your office, what's the best way to contact you guys, your website and phone number?
Yeah, best way is to just jump on our website, hallpropertysolutions.com.au. All of our details are on there. Couple of different blogs. Obviously, I referenced the SDA blog. There's some others there that give some good information, gives you an introduction to all of our team members, all of our contact details, and best way to get in touch with us on the website.
Wonderful. Chris, thank you so much for your time. What you've given us today on this episode is very, very transparent into the workings of a project manager for these little projects for SDA. And we hope to be able to get some listeners who are in that qualified stage to come to you and talk to you more about how you can help them with their projects.
Yeah, thanks, Min. Appreciate your time, and glad to be helpful on
your
podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.